This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
النكاح من سنتي ما قال النبي هو الصحيح نكاح مبارك As you walk together hand in hand Allah has given you a companion and friend To stand and always be seen As man and wife fulfilling the deen From this day on forever be true
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the most merciful All praise is due to Allah and may His peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم And we begin by greeting our brothers and sisters saying and all of our viewers out there with السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته May the peace, the blessings and the mercy of Allah be upon all of you Last time, we started talking about what to look for. And we established that attraction is very important, both physical as well as emotional. And we said if that is there, then we look into the other areas of compatibility. And after attraction, immediately comes the idea of religiosity. We want somebody that is religious. And the hadith, as you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا جَاءَكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ فَزَوِّجُوهُ If somebody approaches you with a marriage proposal and you approve of his deen, of his religiosity and his akhlaq, his character, the Prophet ﷺ said, respond positively to that proposal. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ كَبِيرٌ If you do not do so, there is going to be great mischief that is going or corruption that is going to be spread on the land. Meaning that if you use criterion other than character and religiosity, then you are just only helping in more corruption on earth. During the time of the Prophet ﷺ, a man was brought because he was guilty of the offense of public drunkenness. He was caught drunk. He had just consumed alcohol. He was intoxicated. So the Prophet ﷺ ordered that the person be punished, be rebuked, scolded for his offense. And in the process, the man or one of the people there said, لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ مَا أَكْثَرَ مَا يَشْتَبُ الْخَمْرِ Said, may the curse of Allah be upon him. How frequent does he get intoxicated? Then the Prophet ﷺ commenting on this dua of this person, what does he say? He said, لَا تَلْعَنْهِ فَإِنَّهُ يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ He said, do not curse him. For this person, this drunken person, he loves Allah and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now that sounds very contradictory. In the one hand, we see him, clear evidence, first-hand evidence, the person is drunk. In the same token, in the same incident, the same setting, the Prophet said about that same person, that he loves Allah and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I tell this story and I say, I wish I was that man. Not that I'm interested in alcohol or to see how it feels like, but what I love about that statement is where the Prophet ﷺ said, this man loves Allah and his messenger. I claim to love Allah and his messenger, but I do not have Muhammad ﷺ to stamp that claim of mine with approval. But this man had the approval of Muhammad ﷺ that he loves Allah and his messenger. Very often, brothers and sisters, it happens that we all have our weaknesses. Some of us, their weakness may be intoxication. Some of us, their weakness may be the lack of hijab. Some of us, their weakness may be money. Some of us, their weakness may be that they womanize us, whatever it is. But it is possible that a person may be guilty of a major sin, yet they really love Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And because we have decided that hijab and the beard is going to be the criterion through which we are going to see the religiosity of people, we become so dismissive of other people who may in reality be more religious than we are. Do you all know what I'm talking about? So we see a person, and I remember one time, a sister, somebody who's religious has proposed to her, and the sister did not wear the hijab. So she came inquiring, And she was talking about her lack of religiosity. She said, look, I am not religious. So I said, do me a favor. Do you lie? She said, no, I don't lie. Isn't that part of religiosity? Do you cheat? No, I don't cheat. That's part of religiosity. Do you respect your elders? I do. That is part of religiosity. Do you do? And we keep looking into these people and what other traits and characters they have in them. And we see that these people are really religious. It's just that they have not manifested their religiosity the way we understand religiosity. You all know what I'm talking about? So this person who happens to be a non-hijabi, and by the way, when I say this, it is not an approval of it. I'm just saying that reality out there that this is the case. So what happens is that the minute she's not a hijabi, we become very dismissive of her, even though she may really be religious. Islamically, she may be religious. That happens to be one of her weaknesses. It may be not bearded, but again, the man or this man is a very religious person. In other terms, again, the idea is not to promote that people go and get intoxicated and say, I love Allah and His Messenger, or that they go out committing these major sins and saying that I love Allah and His Messenger. That is not what we are talking about. But it is our ability to understand that in one hand, people may really be religious, and on the other hand, they have got their weaknesses. And our job is to look into, you know what, when we look into a person who is religious, let us not only confine ourselves to those who are only hijabis or to those who are only bearded. Because religiosity does not stop there, brothers and sisters. It really does not there. Yes, the hijab does say a lot about us. I don't think it's easy for a woman to wear a hijab. I really don't. You just come to the U.S., you go to Europe, and you see how difficult it is for people to wear the hijab. It's a challenge. It's an everyday challenge. So it takes a lot for a person to commit themselves to something like this. It's easier for a man to wear a beard. You know, other people, Sikh people wear a beard, Hindus wear a beard, Orthodox Jews wear a beard, Coptic Christians wear a beard, some Muslim men do also wear a beard. It really does not say much about us as much as the hijab says about our sisters. But what we need to do is that look into this religiosity of the individual, and how can I enhance what seems to be and what appears to be weak in them. So for example, here comes a sister who happens to be kind, she happens to be generous, she happens to be respectful, she loves Allah, she loves the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She understands that hijab is an obligation, however she feels that at this point she is weak, and sometimes in some of our cultures, if you put the hijab on, nobody is going to marry you, and I'm just waiting to get married, and then I will put on the hijab. So I'm saying, let us not be dismissive of people like this. By the same token also, let us not be fooled by our own appearances. Sometimes we may look religious. In Christianity, what do people do? Wear a cross, you put on a yarmulke. There is no concept of relics in Islam. You all know what a relic is? Relic is supposedly a thing that has got a religious value into it. In Christianity, what are people looking for nowadays? The sandals of Jesus. So what? So let's say these are the sandals of Jesus. So what? There is nothing divine about them. Let's say that we do find the clothes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What do we say? So what? There is really no divinity assigned to them. I remember in the Hajj season one time, after they take the clothes of the Kaaba, you know, some people, they fight over pieces of it. They take pieces of it. And this person was so excited because they got this little part of the Kaaba, and he had a scissor with him, and he was offering to give every person a little piece of it. And I'm saying, so what? It's just a piece of cloth. There is no concept of relic in Islam. It must be the deeds that we act upon it. And I know many cases where people have proposed to sisters. They look very religious. They seem very religious. They come to the masjid. But then you ask the sister, how is your husband? Or they come and they complain about their husband, where he beats them all the time. He is very verbally abusive. He becomes very physically abusive. Or the sisters who happen to be a hijabi, but she talks about people behind their backs all the time. She is constantly just gossiping about people. These are major sins. But somehow behind our hijab or behind our beard in the process. Is this making sense to you? So when we consider religiosity, we want to be very careful as to what it is when I mean that this is religiosity. For example, The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was said, a Muslim is he whom other people are saved from his tongue and they're saved from his hand. Meaning that he is neither physically abusive nor are they verbally abusive. What we have sometimes is this, that either people are religious but their character is really bad, or they have good character but they have no relationship with their creator. And this was a topic that we spoke about in the last peace conference. So we say, what is better for a person to be having a good relationship with Allah, or what seems to be a good relationship with Allah, yet they do not have good manners, good akhlaq, or a person who has got good akhlaq but they have no relationship with Allah? Their ibadah is good, but then their mu'amala, their dealing with others is terrible. Or their mu'amala is good, and their ibadah is lacking, is terrible. We say neither of them is good. Because remember in Islam, what you believe in, if it does not impact how you behave, then what you believe in is not important. So we want, when we speak about religiosity, we want a person, generally speaking, we can define religiosity as people who generally are not guilty of major sins, and when they do, they repent, and they are also those who do not leave out major obligations that we were commanded with by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as such, we will have a more balanced idea of what is religiosity. So for example, this sister who is not wearing the hijab, a brother may approach her, and she say, no, I need some time to put on my hijab. So, fine, alhamdulillah. Again, remember that this is the person who is doing their salah, yet at this point, you know what, when it comes to the issue of hijab, they're really not doing that great. It may not be the hijab, it may be other things. You know that I know people who are hijabi, they do not pray. You all know what I'm talking about? They wear the hijab, yet they do not pray. Or people who are bearded, yet they cheat on their business. And of course, that is not acceptable. We will continue more with this subject, inshallah, so please do stay tuned, and we will be back momentarily.
And always be seen as man and wife fulfilling.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the most merciful. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome back to Before You Say I Do. And we are talking about religiosity and the definition of who a religious person is. And we said that let us not confine the definition of religiosity only to people who manifest physically on the outer appearance signs of religiosity. As much as we welcome this, but if we only limit religiosity to this, then that is not good. Okay? Sometimes we may look into people and we may think very high of them. And sometimes like the man who came drunk to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and people thought very low of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said that this is not the case. I am not going to turn Islam into a religion that is only concerned with the heart, but rather it's got to be a combination of what is in our heart and also what we manifest with our limbs. It is that which is firmly established in the heart and that is manifested by the deeds that we do. So look for a religious person. You want a religious person simply to accompany you in your journey of becoming spiritually growing. You want to have a proper relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we want a religious person. Being with a religious person, you know, supposedly it helps us in eliminating many areas of differences, such as, you know, we don't have to worry about alcoholism, we don't have to worry about gambling, we don't have to worry about somebody becoming a womanizer, we don't have to worry about somebody becoming, you know, cheating on their husband. There is the idea of trust. Because it is not what you do when I am there, but rather what happens when nobody else is looking. And I say, you know, I trust you. You have a good relationship with your creator. So even though I may not be able to be the policeman, I know that you are the policeman of your own self. So being with a religious person, that is why Al-Hasan al-Basri once asked, whom shall I marry my daughter to? And he said, make sure that she marries a person who is taqi. In ahabbaha akramaha, wa in abghadaha lam yadhlimha. He said, make sure that she marries a pious person, a God-conscious person. And then he explains it as such. He said, if he loves her, he will honor her. And if he does not like her, he will not oppress her. If he loves her, he will honor her. And if he does not like her, he will not oppress her. He will not do her wrong. Why? Not that because he's afraid of the law, not that because he's afraid of the police, but he's got a proper relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as such, these are the kind of people that we want to be with. Somebody who's got a nice heart. Islam seems to be talking about both aspects of religiosity. That which is manifested out in physical terms, in the outer terms, so the virtues of salah, the virtues of fasting, and all these good things. But also at the same time, Islam says that you cannot be empty in the inside, so it speaks about all the things that are supposed to be happening in our heart. By the end of the day, a person needs to assess this person fairly. You look into them and say, you know, what are their good qualities? And usually, all good qualities Islam approves of and Islam encourages. My advice is, do not be dismissive of people simply because they do not look religious. Because religiosity, most of the time, is not about the looks. The looks can be very deceiving. So what we want to know is, we want to know more about this person. What is in them? Let me give you an example. I remember one time, a sister came to the masjid, and somehow she said that, you know what, she was up all night long praying at night. And I said, what were you praying for? And she said, I have a friend of mine, her marriage is not doing very well, and I got up at night to pray for her. That is nice. When people can actually remember their friends at that point, where they would make it a point to wake up at night and say, I have a friend of mine who's got some very rocky marriage, and I got up at night to pray for them. That speaks volume about the people. That is religiosity. That is religiosity. But also by the same token, we are not dismissive of the rituals or the other acts of worship. So consider the person. Look into all the good qualities in them, make a good and overall assessment, and then ask, are you also willing to grow spiritually with me? Are you also willing to grow and change with me? Is this something that is important to you, but you just need somebody to hold you by the hand and walk you through in this journey? And if the answer is yes, I would say, consider that. Really consider this. We all have had our fair share of not being so good. You know what happens sometimes is that, especially for those of us who were not religious one day and then one day we became religious, it seems like we are harshest on those who are less religious than we are. Even though it should be the other way around. I have been in your place. I know what it feels like not to be religious. I know what you are deprived of. I wish that you would feel exactly what I'm feeling right now, a proper relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, you know, when we speak about religiosity, let us not only just confine ourselves with the outer appearance and the outer physical definition of what religiosity is. And with this, inshallah, we would like to open the floor for questions and answers regarding this topic. Go ahead, sister.
Brother, with reference to people who are inclined towards Islam, they need a holding hand and go ahead. It has been observed that Muslim boys, it can be the vice versa as well, they get along with non-Muslims expecting that they will come to Islam and it's a good job to be done to bring a person towards Islam. And in this bargain, we have seen that our Muslim sisters, they do not get a proper match.
Yes, you are very right. And we did address this issue when we were talking about people who are getting married to non-Muslims. Remember, we said that in the case of people who are marrying to non-Muslims, this is a compatibility time bomb. What I said about these people, I qualified it by saying that these are people who would like to embark on the journey. These are people that were born into Muslim families and they've been raised by, you know, into Muslim families. In the lifetime that they have had, you know, be it because of television, be it because of their upbringing, they did not have, you know, solid religious upbringing. But now that they've gotten old, they're looking into this and they're saying, you know what, I would like to become religiously more inclined. And if I find a person who would hold hands with me and take me through that route, I am willing to do so. And by the way, that can apply both to brothers and sisters, but that can also become a potential compatibility time bomb. So that's why I qualified it, that these people really do want to embark on that mission. These are not people who are faking it for right now. These are not people who are thinking about it. No, these are people who are considering seriously that I really want to go onto that route. I don't like my lifestyle and what I have done in the past. I would like, and it would really help me a lot if I can find somebody who would take me into that route. That's what we're talking about. Okay, go ahead.
Brother, what would you say about a sister who's married and her husband does not allow her to wear a hijab?
Unfortunately, this case is not rare. And as sad as it is, Many times brothers would be married to sisters who do not wear the hijab, and they would love for their wives to wear the hijab. Not because it makes them look good in front of other brothers, because sometimes we do want our wives to wear hijab because what are the other brothers going to say about me? But they genuinely are concerned for the hereafter of their wives. So they want their wives to wear the hijab. So it is done out of concern. And this brother, you know, the person that you have spoken about, and to all the brothers whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with sisters who have taken that extra step in having a more proper relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as far as covering themselves, you know, this is where we say, ta'awunu ala al-birri wa taqwa. Aid and help each other in righteousness and goodness. Here you are forcing her to take off the hijab, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded her to do so, and she is doing it, yet you are forcing her to take it off. That is what we call amr bil munkar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the hypocrites and the disbelievers as those who are, they are the helpers and protectors of one another. They eradicate goodness and they enjoin that which is evil. So do not become part of that evil. Do not become part of the company of those who spread evil in the land and on earth. And we say, the least that you can do is just let her be. Let her be. If that's what she wants, then let her be. No? You speak about democracy, you speak about the freedoms, and why don't I practice my freedom in wearing my hijab as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded me? And I would say that, you know what, speak to him. You know, talk to him, and I would just say talk, and in the process, do not give up. Do not give up. Go ahead.
Brother, you spoke about religiosity, that it shouldn't be judged by the appearance.
Only.
Only. But to tell you the truth, the methodology that you gave us, talk to know enough of a person, I really don't know how much applicable it would be in, like, you know, in this cultural setup. So now if a sister is really looking out for somebody religious, she doesn't have a lot of option to judge, you know, or maybe not options, chances to interact with the person and to know what is deep inside that man, you know. So the only way for her to know how religious that person is only for a very large extent, only through his appearance or only through things which are very outward, because nobody except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is there in the heart. So what can sisters do in that case?
Sister, you ask an excellent question. And this question has to do with practicality. Practically speaking, maybe what I said in theory is good. But practically speaking, in the area that I live in, I don't have the luxury of, you know, interacting with this person as I am describing and asking questions and coming to this conclusion. I don't. All I say is I am looking for a person who is religious, and I have very little to play with besides my religiosity. And that's where I would, you know, if you, inshallah, you are a father, you are a brother, that's when, you know what, you can help your sister. That's when you can help your daughter by saying that, you know what, how can I help? I have more access to know about this man than does my sister. Let me help out. How can I aid my sister more into this? Again, it may not be practical. You may not have a brother. Or you may have a brother, but he is not willing to do so. So I say, اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Be conscious of Allah as much as we can. Pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He guides you with regard to this person. But then again, to establish the religiosity of an individual just based on their looks, I say we're gambling. At that point, we will really, really be gambling. And with this, inshallah, we come to the conclusion of this part of our program. Very grateful that you have joined us. And inshallah, you will join us again when we are on. We welcome your emails. We welcome your questions, your comments about this program and other programs. And you may do so at yasirfazaga@peacetv.org. Until we meet next, we say so long and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.